series this morning entitled Living Free. Living free. What does it mean to live free? Is it possible to permanently live free? I want to introduce this topic this morning and for the next few weeks that I pray will be enlightening and revelation to you. Our key scripture is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. It says, "Now the Lord is Spirit." Notice that's capital. The Lord is Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word, that it sets us free as we apply it to our lives. And Lord, I pray for that revelation today for each one of us. Not only that we'll hear with our ears, but we'll hear with our heart. And give us, Lord, the faith to carry out the action of your word today. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. A good portion of people today are living in bondage. They're living in fear, living in a place of not necessarily free or rid of the things and the concerns of life. I was having a conversation with someone the other day, and they had concern about an individual that has just operated in bondage for many years, and it's just been a nonstop cycle, that bondage that they haven't broken out of. The potential's there, but the bondage is so real that it hinders them and holds them back, and they can't seem to get out of this now decades of bondage that's going on in their life. You don't necessarily have to be in a prison cell to be in bondage. As a matter of fact, years ago when we were ministering in the federal prison in Jessup going every Wednesday, we found that there were men in there who were more free in the confines of that prison than there were people free on the outsides of the prison. And it's a matter of our heart. Sometimes bondage is associated with choices, bad choices, life habits, bad left life habits, worry, anxiety, pride, and of course drugs and alcohol and substance abuse. Bondage. And we're bound to it. We go right back to it. We leave it and then we go back to it. We're bound to it. And that bondage hinders us from moving forward. Worry is that way. The Bible says be anxious for nothing. But worry can bind us, can confine us, can cause us to live in a state of fear. But I want to communicate to you that God has provided for us a life of freedom, but it's in Him. There's nothing wrong with psychiatrists, Christian counseling, all those things are good, and Crystal and I are involved in that, and it's important we remind each other. It's not necessarily that the person, that we don't have the answer. You know, we go into a situation and we know the answer is God, but sometimes it's good to talk things through, and we understand that. Sometimes it's good to be reminded of how God is, and in particular situations, how you can confront those situations in life to where you can experience freedom. So we understand that, and all that's good. But freedom comes through Jesus Christ. Freedom comes through God. And today in particular, I want to talk about another avenue, if you will. 2 Corinthians 3:17, we see that in the Spirit of God, there is liberty. Well, God sent the Helper. Now, that's capital H. God sent the Helper. He sent the Comforter to cause us to live free. And the Helper and the Comforter that Jesus brought to us, God sent to us, is called the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit brings liberty, brings freedom. We see that capital S of Spirit in the scripture we just read, I believe, is relating to the Holy Spirit. Paul introduced the Holy Spirit this way in Acts chapter 19, verses 1 and 2. It says, "And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, he said to them, 'Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?' As they said to him, 'We've not so much as heard where there is a Holy Spirit.'" Several years ago, we had a big bunk bed in Josh's room. When Josh was at home, it was a big bunk bed, and it wasn't your standard bunk bed. That thing was solid as a brick. I mean, heavy. I mean, every piece of timber was solid wood, and it was held together with bolts. I'm talking bolts, washers, and nuts. That's what held that thing together. And putting it together was no problem because the furniture store came to put it together for us. So we were good there. It's when we moved and took that thing apart, that's where the challenge came. We took that thing apart and we were sure to put all the bolts and nuts and washers and all the stuff, the brackets and everything, into a box. And so when Josh and Kendra were moving to North Carolina, they said, you know what? Josh said, it'd be great to have that bunk bed that I had when I was growing up in Silas's room. He's now 8 years old, but of course Silas felt big. He said, yeah, I get bunk bed. Not only that, it was Dad's bunk bed. So we made provision. I forget how we got it up there, but I think Josh may have came and picked it up. Anyway, we got it up there some way, and so that big bunk bed's now up in Fayetteville, North Carolina, wound up there. But when they were putting that together, we left it with them. We said, well, there it is. Y'all have fun. So they got it there, and they were putting it together and realized that they didn't have everything that they needed. The bunk bed was there. The potential was there for that bunk bed to be slept on, but until it was put together and they found the hardware to put it together, it wasn't going to do Silas a whole lot of good. And so they went out and tried to fit bolts, nuts, and washers and all that there. And a little while later, we found out that the box was forgotten that had all that in it. So the bunk bed was there, but yet the parts that held it together couldn't be found. It is possible to be a Christian and to serve God and not to take the full provision of what God's given us, and we leave out the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus came to give us salvation. We have salvation through Jesus Christ. But as Paul was asking them in Corinth here in the scripture that we just read, we can sometimes not even realize that we're not bringing the Holy Spirit in our life and making Him part of our life. And we see that the Holy Spirit is a very important part of our walk with God. Who is the Holy Spirit? Who is the Holy Spirit? Number one, the Holy Spirit is a person. We're going to talk a little bit and lay the groundwork this morning of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a person. Sometimes we think the Holy Spirit is an it. The Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is an individual. The Holy Spirit is a personality of God. Holy Spirit is a personality. He's like God. He thinks like God. He's like Jesus. He thinks like Jesus. So the three of them work together in unity. He's a person. He speaks personally with us. The Holy Spirit may not talk to you the way He talks to me. The Holy Spirit may not talk to me the way He talks to you. The Holy Spirit talks to us and speaks to us the way that will communicate to us. There's communication that God wants to speak to us, and the Holy Spirit knows us well enough that He speaks to us. But many times, because of lack of not knowing the Holy Spirit or lack of not knowing the purpose of the Holy Spirit, we kind of ignore that. Many, even Christians today, I won't say Christians today because it's not taught on, because it's not preached about in the Word of God, we ignore the Holy Spirit. Well, we don't understand it, so we ignore it. We ignore the Holy Spirit, Him. We ignore Him as the Holy Spirit. We ignore Him as a part of the Godhead. John 14:7 says, "The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him," those are capital H's, those refer to the Holy Spirit, "but you know Him," speaking of those who are with Jesus, that know Jesus Christ, "for He," the Holy Spirit, "dwells in you and will be in you." The Holy Spirit is part of Jesus. The Holy Spirit is part of God. And so He, the Holy Spirit, is one to be known. It's one for us to draw close to. And we can know the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, by drawing close to Jesus Christ. The second thing about the Holy Spirit that I want to tell you today is that He is for you. The Holy Spirit is for you, just as God is for you. Jesus is for you. The Holy Spirit doesn't come to work against you, but He came, He's with you to work for you. Jesus explains the Holy Spirit in John 16:7. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage," say your advantage, "that I go away," Jesus said. "For I do not go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper," notice that's capital H, speaking of the Holy Spirit, the Helper will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him to you. He is a person. The Holy Spirit is a person. As we know, Jesus departed. Jesus went to heaven after hanging on the cross, went to the tomb, raised the third day. Jesus ascended to heaven. And so the Holy Spirit at that moment is here. He's been here with us. He is for you. He was sent for you. The Bible says, for your advantage. The Holy Spirit is for us. We'll get into the depth of what that means. But he is for us. The Holy Spirit, number three, is God. The Holy Spirit is God. Well, wait a minute. You said God is God. Jesus is the Son of God. Yes, Father God. God, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and God the Holy Spirit. We know that all wisdom comes from God. We know that our salvation comes through Jesus Christ and the price that he paid. And the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, we're going to get into who he is and what he does in our life. Peter explains that the Holy Spirit is for us in Acts 5:34. Here, Peter caught Ananias in a lie, and that's a sermon of itself, but Peter caught Ananias in a lie, and this is Peter's response to Ananias. He said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back a part, a price of the land for yourself? Verse 4, while it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. That's what I want you to see there, that very last sentence. You've not lied to men, but to God. Peter's talking about the Holy Spirit. He, the Holy Spirit, is God. Peter said, you didn't lie to men, you lied to God. So Holy Spirit is referred to as God. God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, they all work together as one in total harmony, total unity. The Holy Spirit does not pull from Jesus Christ or from God. They work simultaneously. They work together. See, God knows, and it's really much more than we can put into human natural words, but God knows what we need before we need it and the process of getting it to us. We've got to know that he is for us, to listen to his instruction, to recognize his instruction, and to follow through with his instruction. The Holy Spirit helps us in our everyday life, not just in a pinch, not just in an emergency, but the Holy Spirit is always with us, working with us, for us. Matthew 28:19 says this, go therefore make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. They're all three. They're all three together, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They're giving us everything that we need to cause us to walk through everything that we face in life. Why would we want one part of God? We want the salvation, but we don't understand this, so we're going to ignore this. You know, sometimes because we don't understand things doesn't necessarily, it's not a good excuse to ignore it. We should learn. And we should let God speak to us, especially in something of this magnitude that he has sent to our life to change our life, to draw us closer to him, and to make us overcome the things that we face. There are many things you're facing today, but the Holy Spirit is here. Number four, he's here as our friend. The Holy Spirit is our friend. Jesus said, he will never leave you nor forsake you. The Holy Spirit is also there to stay with you. 2 Corinthians 13:14 says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit. That's referring to the relationship, the friendship the Holy Spirit desires to have with you and I. He says, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all, so that we have a continued relationship. How often do you talk to your friends? How often do you talk to those who are closest to you? The Holy Spirit is our friend. He can be talked to. He certainly talks to us. He's part of God himself. The Holy Spirit helps us. He comforts us, as we see. He's our closest friend. Now, Jesus also defined roles of the Holy Spirit. As Jesus was about to go to the cross in John 14, he gathered his disciples together and he talked to them about the Holy Spirit. And I want us to look at this today. The first role of the Holy Spirit that Jesus communicated to his disciples and here with us today is that he's always present. He'll always be present. The Holy Spirit does not leave us. Now, we can sometimes create an environment where it grieves the Holy Spirit and we pull away from him, but he doesn't pull away from us. If we have Jesus Christ in our heart, then we have the Holy Spirit in our heart. We may not realize it, and maybe that's why I believe that this is an important subject for where we are today, that we see every attribute, personality of the Godhead, and what he is doing in our life. The Holy Spirit is always present with us. John 14, 16, Jesus says this, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper." That's capital H, notice that. "I'll give you another helper." King James Version says, comforter. Either way, it's to our advantage. It's a blessing to us. Helper. "That he may," speaking of the Holy Spirit, "he may abide with you," what's that last word? Forever. To never leave us. The Holy Spirit is sent by God, to be with us forever, to walk with us every single day, to walk by our side, to always communicate. Why did Jesus want us to know the Holy Spirit? Because he knew we needed the Holy Spirit. He knows us. He knows us well. And Crystal, being by my side for these 37 years, and I guess if we had another 3 or 4 years of dating to that, nearly 40 years, I don't know how that's possible. In many ways. But the Holy Spirit is closer to me than Crystal is. The Holy Spirit is closer to you than your closest friend is. Every moment. He never sleeps. He never takes time off. You would think that the Holy Spirit would need a vacation. Give me a little break from you, please. No, he's always with you. Forever, the Bible says. Jesus knows we need the comforter. We need the helper. We need the assistance, the power of the Holy Spirit. And secondly, the Holy Spirit, the role of the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, is to reveal all things. I said all things. To reveal all things. You mean in business, you mean in relationships, you mean in finances, you mean in health. All things. The Holy Spirit will reveal all things to you. How awesome is that? All things. There are many times in the Bible that things can be worded in a way to where we don't understand it. We don't have the ability to understand it. And I'm here to say that I don't understand everything in the Word of God either. But as we read the Word of God, as we pray and say, Holy Spirit, show me, reveal to me what you're saying, the Holy Spirit interprets the Scriptures and puts it in a way to where we can, I can't tell you how many times I've read a Scripture and after all these years and seen a new way that the Holy Spirit reveals to me of what God is saying through that Scripture. We can read one Scripture for years and years and years and all of a sudden have a divine revelation of what that's meaning to us. That's through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit reveals things to us. I can't tell you the number of times that I've been in a situation where I'm saying, God, show me what to do. Show me how to do this. I'm in a situation I've never been in before. I've got an opportunity. Do I say no or do I go? He says, go and I'll show you what to do. So the Holy Spirit reveals things to us. Different avenues of business. Different avenues of relationships. How to make it through things with the wisdom of God. The Holy Spirit reveals those things to us. We may face different things this week that maybe we've never faced before. Challenges. You may be facing challenges this week and the weeks to come. The Holy Spirit will reveal your place in that. The devil can bring confusion out of the Word of God. Don't you think he can bring confusion out of something somebody else says? And so we need the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. We need the input. We need the revelation. We need the interpretation of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we don't necessarily need to take things the way that they're meant. Well, they meant it this way. Maybe so. But God wants to do something great in your life. Take it the way the Holy Spirit means. Maybe the Holy Spirit wants you to grow through it rather than lashing back out at somebody that intentionally tried to hurt you. See, the Holy Spirit guards us. Getting ahead of myself, but the Holy Spirit, he's alive and well, and he wants you to succeed in your walk with God. See, if we succeed in our walk with God, then everything else will succeed too. We can't expect to succeed in everything else, and then we'll succeed in our relationship with God. God said, "You seek me first. Seek him first." All the success in our life comes out of our relationship with God, even as our soul prospers, the Bible says. We've got to get a grip of that. And that's what the Holy Spirit is here to do. He's causing our soul to prosper, even in spite of the things that you're facing today. Yes, the things you're facing are strong. Yes, the things you're facing are not from God. But the Holy Spirit will give you the power to get through those things and to succeed through those things, and you'll see everything else will fall into place. So the devil will create confusion, but the Holy Spirit will bring revelation. He'll bring clarity. The devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. I can't tell you how many times I've said that this past week with trying to encourage people. But you don't understand. The devil's trying to do this and the devil's trying to do that. I do understand. I understand. As long as we're on this earth, the devil will not stop doing those three things, especially to somebody that's trying to serve God. Those that are lukewarm, those that don't give a rip, he's not going to waste him trying to get them because he's already got them. Why is he going to waste his time there? He's going to waste his time for those that come to church on Sunday morning that are trying to press in, that are trying to know God and to follow God with all their ways. Those are the ones. You are his target. I am his target. So the Holy Spirit comes then for those times that the devil is trying to steal, kill, and destroy. He causes us to be able to come above those things, to have a calmness and a peace that only comes by the Holy Spirit. How can you be that at peace? How can you be that calm when all these things are working against you? Because the power of the Holy Spirit working in and through. That doesn't mean that we understand everything. We're talking about the Holy Spirit revealing everything to us. That doesn't mean that we'll have it in 3 seconds. We've got to trust that he's going to reveal it to us in his time. He will. In his time. John 14:26 says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things." Say it. All things. "And bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." That's through the Holy Spirit. Remember when I say that God has all the answers? He has all the answers. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, he's going to give those answers to you, all things. Sometimes he has to prepare our heart to receive it, though. If he dumped all the answers on our lap today, I'm not sure that I have the ability to carry the weight of that. I've got all the answers. Now what in the world do I do with those? He's working through us and in us to bring us to a place to where we can manage the blessing and the answers that we've asked him for. And that comes through knowing him. But the Holy Spirit, sent by the Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, he will teach you. Do y'all remember the days in school? And the teaching part of school? I mean, my favorite part was lunch. Second part was recess. But the other parts, couldn't we just postpone those a little bit? Maybe one day a week. The teaching part is the hardest part. I'm sure it was hard on the teacher, but it's more hard on me, the learner, because I had to open my ears and learn. Mike, we're going to have a pop quiz. Oh, no. A pop quiz. Give me a week so that I can learn it 30 minutes before school starts. So he's teaching us. There's a process. Man, why can't it be easier than that? There's a process to learning. But he's teaching us. He's teaching us. The Word of God is our source to our growth. We want to grow. We want to go from 1 to 60 like that. But there's a process through that growth, and God wants to do it. The third thing that the Holy Spirit, his role in our life, is to testify through us. Testify through us. He wants to use you as an example to encourage others. Well, I'm not there yet. Listen, if the Holy Spirit is working in your life, you are a testimony to where you are today versus where you could be today. Aren't you thankful for that? We could be somewhere else. And it could be a lot different than what it is today. Thank God we're here today. We have the ability to sit, stand, even read, to be in church. We have the ability. We have the ability to breathe and to see, to listen, to learn, and to proclaim the Word of God. He wants to testify through us. Paul wasn't perfect. Paul wrote a good portion of the New Testament. Paul wasn't perfect at all. Did Paul sin? Paul sinned. He wasn't perfect. But did Paul love God? Yes, he came to God and he loved God. Now look, Paul is a testimony to each one of us of what the Holy Spirit did in his life. The Holy Spirit wants to testify through you because he's working in our lives. Don't wait till we get to the point of perfection. And this life will never happen, by the way. Point of perfection before we can say, you know what, I don't think I can be a testimony. I've got news for you. You are a testimony. You're a living, breathing testimony that's a blessing to someone that's watching you today. You are a testimony of how great God is. John 15:26 says, "But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me." The Holy Spirit is testifying through your life. You don't have to necessarily say a word this afternoon when you see somebody. The Holy Spirit that's in you will be recognized by someone else. They're drawn to the Holy Spirit. They're drawn to the love of God in your life. They're drawn to you. When you're having a bad day, don't go hide at home. Go anyway. You're a testimony of the goodness of God. It's normal to have a bad day sometimes, isn't it? That's part of life. But even in the bad days, God is still God. Even in the bad days, God gives us the ability to press through and to make it through those days. Don't think we have to run and hide because we have a bad day. God is still God. God is still God even in the bad days. He said, in this world we'll have tribulation, but to be of good cheer, he has overcome the world. That's the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, Jesus wants to pour into us, that even in the tribulation, even in the hard times, the truth of God will be revealed to us and to others through the work that is happening in your life today. Acts 1:8, look at this. Acts 1:8 says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." Sometimes we have power by the Holy Spirit and through the life of Jesus Christ that we don't even realize we have. Well, I wish I could just be strong enough to make it through the day. You've got the power to make it through the day that you're facing. Why? Because if you have Jesus Christ in your heart, the Holy Spirit is there to give you the power to cause you to succeed through that day. That doesn't mean that you'll automatically have all the answers or that the problems will automatically go away. The clouds will roll back, the sun will shine, and a big band will say, ba-boom. But he's giving you the power. "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the end of the earth." That means Brunswick, Red Cross, Darien, Kingsland, all the surrounding cities. Everywhere you go, you're a witness because he's in your life. The Holy Spirit is giving you the power to represent him, to be witnesses, is what the Bible says. And so the Holy Spirit empowers us. Sometimes we don't feel like we've got the power, do we? But you do. By the Holy Spirit, you've got the power. Sometimes we have to release it, and that's called speaking it. We have to say, I can make it through today. I can conquer this thing that I'm facing. Sometimes we base our power and our ability to overcome based on what other people's actions are. We need to get away from that. You think we can control people's actions? Sometimes God can't even control people's actions. Are we above God? But we have to base our power and the truth of God's word based on who he is in us, not based on what somebody else is saying and doing. That's for somebody today. Goodness. Wow. And the fourth role of the Holy Spirit is to convict us of sin. Convict, not condemn. There's a difference between condemning and convicting. So the difference is, have you seen a parent in a grocery store and the child gets a box of cereal and decides to use it like a trampoline and bust it all over the floor and cereal's everywhere? And so this is condemnation. You dummy, why did you do that? Why do you do stupid things? Ever since you've been in this world, that's all you've done is stupid things. That's condemnation. That's condemning that child. I mean, we as adults do kind of the same thing. We're condemned. We feel like we're being condemned. Well, I'm not any good. I've never done anything good. I never will do anything good. Why? Because we're under condemnation. Conviction is this. Buddy, now I told you not to do that. Get up. We're going to go get a broom and a dustpan. We're going to clean this up and don't do it again. And so we talk to them in that way to convict them that they'll think twice the next time they try it. Right? So the Holy Spirit comes to us, and rather than saying we're dumb and we're stupid and we always make mistakes, he comes to us and says, now you knew better than that. Learn through this. This is going to happen. I'm going to prepare you for it. You're going to walk through the repercussion of what you've just done, but now I'm giving you the power to make it through the repercussion, to come out on the other side on top, and I am with you to make you stronger, and you will succeed. So that's conviction. He hasn't left us because we've made a mess. He hasn't left us. He's not condemned us because we made a mistake. Why would Jesus Christ come to lay down his life for our sins if the first time we messed up, he was going to walk away? And so he's still with us. The Holy Spirit is with us to empower us that even in our sin, call it what it is, even in our sin, he doesn't leave us. He convicts our heart. If we're listening, sometimes I haven't, but if we're listening, he'll say, don't do that. And sometimes I'll la 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 la, I'm going to do it anyway. And so then, he still doesn't say I'm dumb and stupid, even though I was. He says, Mike, you knew better. I'm going to walk with you through the process. You can make it. I'm with you. And on the other side, you'll be stronger and you'll come to victory. He'll still be with me. He convicted me. He convicted me before, I just wasn't listening. He convicted me during, it's a 50-50. And after it's over, I can either draw close to him and learn through it and still have the power to make it through, or either I can walk away. But the Bible says that he's not going to leave me. He's always present. So that's the difference between conviction and condemnation. The Holy Spirit comes to convict us, not to condemn us. The Holy Spirit is our life coach. He's always with us. Remember, he knows the things that Jesus knows. Jesus sent him, God sent the Holy Spirit when Jesus ascended to heaven. So the Holy Spirit works in our life in the same attitude, the same care as our helper and our comforter as Jesus. So he's walking with us to help us to grow and to mature as he convicts us. You know to step back from that. You know not to do that. You know, and it's funny, we as adults have the same issues as the two-year-old. It's just a different setting. Sometimes we can still be a little hard-headed, but the Holy Spirit is patient with us, speaking to us and not leaving us even when we don't listen. John 16:8 says, and when he has come, he will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. He'll convict. You know, we know all the main sins, and those are sins, but sometimes we sin by not doing what we know we're supposed to do. We know we're supposed to do something, we know we're supposed to act in some way, and we didn't do it. That's sin too. It says it in James 4:17. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and doesn't do it, to him it's sin. And so the Lord will instruct in our hearts by the Holy Spirit and show us the things that we need to be doing. They're not necessarily spelled out in the Ten Commandments. Those are things that have been identified to you personally. The Holy Spirit will speak to you. Some things that you're allowed to do, I can't do. Some things that I'm allowed to do, you can't do. That's not partiality. That's not showing favorites. That's showing that, that's just showing that there's some things that could cause me to walk away from God, wherein you, it causes you to draw closer to God. Does that make sense? It doesn't harm your relationship with God. But if I were to do that, if I were to go some places, maybe it would be a deterrent for me in my Christian walk with God. That doesn't mean that it's sin for you. That means that the Holy Spirit has spoke to you about some things that you need to do. The Holy Spirit has spoke to me about some things that I need to do. That's what I'm saying. He has a personality. He knows how to work and when to work in our life and the things that we're to do. So I'm not going to get up here and preach my personal convictions to you, because unless the Holy Spirit has spoken to you, it's not a conviction to you. We know what the Word of God says. It's black and white. And that's the truth for all of us. But there are some things that we know we're supposed to do that's good. We don't do it, it's sin. It's the last role of the Holy Spirit is that He's our guide. He is our guide. It is so cool to have a navigation on your phone. It's cool. But unless I turn that thing on, and unless I plug in where I want to get, it's not going to tell me how to get there. It's good. The Holy Spirit's our guide, but unless we listen to it, it's not going to do us a bit of good. Not a bit of good. We were in Jacksonville. We took a group. We were part of a group that went down, and I happened to be the driver for a group. And went to Jacksonville, and we were there. And on the way back home, Crystal was sitting up front with me. And we were coming through a part of Jacksonville where there's construction everywhere. I mean, there's roads that Waze didn't know about. And Waze is supposed to be the latest and greatest of the navigation systems. Well, she had Waze on, and I wait for her. She's my navigation, so she listens to Waze, and I listen to her. And she doesn't say it. I didn't hear it. So she said, "Well, didn't you hear Waze tell you that?" I said, "No, because you didn't say it." That's my excuse. So anyway, so she's got Waze on, and so we're traipsing through Jacksonville and come into some, I don't know what all they got going on down there, but there's some construction. And so the evidently Waze, the navigation, said to make a turn. And she didn't say it, so I didn't turn. So I kept going. So it wasn't my fault. I'm kidding. It was my fault. I was driving. Okay, I take part of the blame. So we going through, and so we found out then we're on the wrong path. So we could have stayed on that wrong path. We could have, but the chances of us making it home were pretty slim. I can't continue to go south and make it to Brunswick. I can stay on the road. I'm sure the road would have been nice. It would have been a great ride. But y'all have been saying, "No, where's Mike? It's 10:30. We're supposed to be starting church. You call me and I'm in Key West. I'm in Key West, but I'll be home shortly. I'm still headed south." So the Holy Spirit is our guide. We can't necessarily get to where we're going without relying on the Holy Spirit to guide us to our destination. He wants us to get there. We've got to listen. We've got to rely on Him to get there. Well, it doesn't make sense. Why does it make sense? I thought it was fine to go straight on that road, but it said to turn right. How are we going to head north? We've turned right because that's toward the south. Well, because it made a loop and headed north. So the Holy Spirit has things in our life that He knows what He's doing as long as we trust His guidance. He's our guide. And He convicts our heart to guide us so that we can correct our direction. He wants us to correct our direction so we get to our destination. I really wanted to be home Friday night and not to spend this next several days in Key West and catching a boat and coming around the world to get back home. That's going to take a little bit. It's going to take a minute. We'll see y'all in a few months. And so for us to make it where God wants to get us, for us to make it where we want to get, we need to be guided by the Holy Spirit. He's our guide. He knows the way. He knows all the turns and all the twists and all the tricks of the enemy and all the things that will try to push itself in to distract you. He knows all those things. He knows all those things. Waze is so smart. How smart is it? Waze is so smart that it knows if there's a backup of traffic to get us off on an exit to take a back road to get around it to where we never even see the traffic. See, the Holy Spirit will take us around things that has held other people up for years, calls us to succeed. How did you get there? You got there by listening to the Holy Spirit to follow His guidance. Isaiah 30, verse 21 says, "Your ears shall hear a word behind you, saying, "This is the way, walk in it." Whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left, the Holy Spirit is our guide. John 16:13 says, "However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth." God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, he will not guide you to a mistake. He will not guide you to a wrong path. He will not guide you to a lie. He will not guide you to just a cloud of smoke. He'll guide you to all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears from God. Whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. Wow. Wow. It's beneficial to know truth. And the truth will set you free. Free? Free? How can I be free when these things are going on? How can I be free when all these things are coming against me? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Do we carry the Spirit of the Lord with us? Only in certain situations, only in certain times, only different seasons, only when things are just terribly bad, but other times I'm fine? No, we carry him with us always because he is always with us. He's not going to leave us. Family, relationships, school, work, decisions, money, future, it doesn't matter. He's speaking truth in us so that we'll know what way to go, our direction, our guide, our peace, our comfort, and even answers to the things to come. This isn't for our own benefit. This isn't for our own, rather should I say, this isn't for our own gain. It's for our benefit so that we'll serve God and be a testimony to God. It's that he can live his life through each one of us. Now what happens is if we say no too often, say, "No, no, I'm not going that way. No, I'm not listening to that. No, I'm doing it my way." We've all done that to a certain degree. There's no condemnation in that. We've all done that. But after a while, we become seared. We become deaf to his voice. He still doesn't leave us. He still doesn't walk away and say, "Well, there's no use. I'm gonna go talk to somebody else." He's still with us. Now, we've become numb to that because we've ignored it so long. We've become seared to that because we've done our own way so long in spite of what he's saying. But the Holy Spirit, I believe that today, wants to open our ears. He wants to take that layer off that has deafened us. He wants to heal that searing and cause us to have a tender heart toward him today. Because I believe our answers in the days to come, and we've got a little ways to go between now and whenever Jesus comes back, and he may come back tonight, praise God, and if so, we'll party in heaven. But until he comes, we may face some other things that are hard to deal with. And I believe that the Holy Spirit is trying to prepare our hearts so that we listen to him, we're tuned to him, we have sensitive ears to him, and we follow. And the more we do that, the more we just simply walk in it. The more we follow him, the more we hear him, the more we react to him, the more like him we become. We take on his nature. It doesn't change the situations. I'm sorry. It doesn't change the situations. As a matter of fact, the situations may heat up by about 5 degrees. But the power of the Holy Spirit is stronger than the things that you'll face. The power of the Holy Spirit supersedes any attack that you may face today. What does that mean? God is going to do things my way? Does that mean he's going to answer my prayer? God will answer your prayer. It may be in a different way, but we've got to trust him. We've got to trust him that his answer and his timing for that answer is perfect. See, God knows the things in your life, and God doesn't necessarily cause those things in your life to come, because things will come into our life through the hands of the devil, through our enemy, through the deceiver. But Romans 8:28 says that he'll cause all these things to work together for what? For good. To those who love God, to those who are following God, to those who are called of God. We love God by saying, God, I love you. I'm following after you. Doesn't matter the circumstances. I'm not gauging my love for God based on what he does for me today. I'm basing my love for God based on who he is, how great he is, and he promises never to fail me. And so we follow the Holy Spirit. It's not living free based on the difficulties going away. I'll live free when this is fixed. I'll live free when that person is out of my life. I'll live free when they do like they're supposed to do. No, we live free based on what the Word of God says. There may not be an absence of pain. There may not be an absence of sorrow. There may not be an absence of tribulation. But Jesus says he is with us. The Holy Spirit is with us forever. We can count on that. We can count on the stability and the foundation and the security of what he's told us today. Do you believe that? Let's stand together. Come on.